Welcome to PLP number 4. It's the Proud Lily Whites podcast, talking all things Spurs, men's teams and women's teams. My name's Sean.
And I'm Lee.
And, well, we've got an interesting episode for you, hopefully, this time round, because we've been talking a lot about our own experience of Spurs and pre-season and the end of last season. But we also have, both of us, actually, family members who are big Spurs fans as well, and we thought it'd be really interesting to hear different perspective. I've got nephews who are growing up in this world of Spurs doing fantastically well and being this, you know, top four team. What's it like growing up like that? And Lee, your nana has been a big fan of Spurs for a long time.
Yeah, she's been following them since she was a young one herself, and she's well into her, how old is she now? In her 70s, I think. So she's been following Spurs for a very long time, and she's seen it all. So it'd be interesting later on to hear from both generations and see what it's like with previous knowledge, what it's like coming in as a fresh fan, and get everyone's perspective.
Yeah, and then after that, we're going to just talk about pre-season. Obviously, the men's team have been busy out in the Far East and also in Germany. The women's team have had their first pre-season friendly, although, of course, their season starts a bit later. So lots to talk about in those regards, and the new kits have come out as well, at least two of them. So yes. Lots has gone on.
Yeah, so let's start with you, Sean. Over the last few weeks, you've been talking to your nephews, and here's what they had to say.
Today I'm with two of my favourite people in the world, my two nephews, the youngest of whom is
Ben Holdsworth, aka Hotspur Hero.
And how old are you, Ben?
8.
And the oldest of whom is
Josh, aka the Blockhead Venturer.
And how old are you, Josh?
10.
Okay, and which football team do the two of you support?
Tottenham Hotspur!
Same.
Excellent. And why do you support Spurs?
Because of you, and because they got the greatest person in the world, human son, and they're the best football team in the world. End of story.
Technically, just because you are.
So both of you have been to see games at White Hart Lane. Can you remember anything about those?
We won 3-0 to Watford 2017.
And we sat, didn't we, right behind the goal for that one?
Yeah, and we just saw loads of goals smashing in our faces.
And that was your first game. Josh, can you remember your first game at White Hart Lane?
I was definitely high up. Don't know who we were up against. Forgot the score.
It was Swansea. And we went a goal behind, didn't we?
Yeah.
And so it was a bit exciting because we came back to win it.
And some random person picked me up.
Yeah, when we scored the equaliser, the guy sitting next to you picked you up and
chucked you in the crowd.
And you know, made it exciting for you, but you weren't too impressed.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your favourite memory about being a Spurs fan?
Going to the Spurs Christmas party and meeting Harry Kane, Dele Alli, Eric Lamela, Danny Rose, Kieran Trippier, Oliver Skip, and other people.
Yes, you won a place at the Spurs Christmas party. That was fun. Up at Hotspur Way.
Hotspur Way.
We got to go up. What did you think of the training facilities there?
Rubbish, no. great.
And Josh, what about you? What's your favourite memory of being a Spurs fan?
Probably actually seeing my brother's room.
We have decorated Ben's room in Spurs style. Can you describe it?
Spursy.
So it's Spurs wallpaper on the bottom, Spurs blue on the top, and then lots of pictures and flags from Spurs. What do you reckon to your room?
Amazing. Best team in the world. It's the best wallpaper in the world. Best room in the world.
We just found out today that Kieran Trippier is leaving the club. How do you feel about that, Ben?
No! Okay, that's it. Kieran Trippier is one of my favourite players, so it's really bad because he's one of our creators. I know he had a bad last season, but he can still make it back. Like, Danny Rose has done that. Ben Davies has done that. So I don't know why Poch sold him to Atletico Madrid.
Even though there are rumours that Danny Rose might move, just adding to that.
Yeah,
we might be losing both of those full-backs, but we're not. Ben's not happy about that. About Kieran going, but we have got a couple of new guys, in particular Tanguy Ndombele. What do you reckon to him?
I think he's going to be a good one because I think Barca and Real wanted him, PSG wanted him, Man City. And when he came up and said, I'd like to go to Spurs, the one of the best teams in the world. Thank you.
And are there any other players you think we should be bringing in over the summer? Any positions that you think we should be bringing in?
Maybe a couple more strikers, because we've only got Harry Kane and Son normally goes cam or left winger. So we need, because we might be selling Vincent Janssen, and Llorente's not really the person to go.
Well, Llorente's been released, hasn't he? He's come to the end of his contract, so he won't be playing for us next season.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, yes, we could do with some strike force.
Yeah, because we've left Vincent Janssen, Nkudu and Danny Rose at Spurs. Because when we were doing our Spurs trip, I'm not one of the people who went because I'm not a Spurs player, but They went somewhere and they've left out those three players. So we're probably selling Vincent Janssen. Those are the ones we're going to let go. So it'll be very dangerous if we sell Harry Kane or he gets injured. Some will have to go up front and then our formation will have to change and it'll be less attacking.
And what do you think about Christian Eriksen and then Toby Alderweireld? Do you want them to stay?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like they have a good chance if they stay.
Because Christian Eriksen's one of the best midfielders in the world. Look up best midfielders in the world, he's in, like, 20th. I'd say he's... Real. They're putting in pathetic £13 to 5 million on the person we want to buy, who's, like, 50 mil. That's, like, 70 million altogether. We need, like, £100 million for Eriksen. So if we spent, if they gave us the 50 million guy and then like 50 mil or 40 mil, it would be fine, I think, but not 30 mil.
So we've got summer holidays. All three of us are going up to the new stadium. We're going to have a look around. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, I didn't know we were doing that, but yeah.
Yeah, you did. And Ben's already been, haven't you?
Yeah, I went to the first ever game, which was Tottenham under 21s. Versus Southampton under 21s, we scored, and Oliver Skipp was there, our midfielder for the first team. He was allowed to do it because he's under 21, I think he's 19 or 18. And then he assisted both of the goals. I think his goal was 2-0, and Benteke scored, not the Crystal Palace Benteke, our Benteke. And I said they're going to be, I think, key players as well as Oliver Skipp, and I was right.
And what did you think when you saw the stadium from the train? Can you remember?
Brilliant. Beer stands everywhere. It was overall brilliant. It was way better than our old one because I'm saying this and I've just remembered that I've only been in White Hart Lane once, which was my first ever game.
And we went and said goodbye as well, didn't we? We went and sat and said goodbye. We went and had a look in the dressing room. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I saw Harry Kane's shirt and they're all posted up. We've been trying to make our stadium, I think, since Kyle Walker played for us as well.
Yes, so...
It's finally got finished.
And we're going to go look. Josh, are you looking forward to seeing the new stadium?
Yeah. Can I also just add to the new player? Yeah, I think he'll probably actually be quite good because we've been known for people like Harry Kane to start off young and then get better and better and better, and probably think he'll become like if Eriksen goes, like the third best player in the team eventually.
Excellent.
Well, I think, to be fair, he's 25 at the moment, so I think he's a good player because he's at Lyon's. Loads of big clubs wanted him, and he came to the right club, the biggest club of them all, Tottenham.
So last season we got to the Champions League final. How much fun was it thinking about being in the Champions League final?
Brilliant, and then the heartbreaker.
Yeah, Josh and I watched the game together, didn't we? It was a difficult game, but what did you think about the game, Josh?
That we probably could have done better. The VAR could have probably been restarted because it didn't seem to be very good there. Also because some of my friends who are actually Liverpool supporters are saying that should have never been a penalty.
Yeah, it was a tough call, wasn't it, right at the beginning of the game?
We used to sing Glory, Glory, VAR or something like that. Poop VAR. That is the worst decision ever. Because he was walking and then he went for a header. It's not a penalty. It's just really not. I don't get why. And then fair play to Origi. But if we didn't score that goal, they probably wouldn't have the confidence. It'll probably be a 0-0 draw. And I know Tottenham are good at penalties, so...
Okay, so it was a really good season last season. Moved into the new stadium, got to the Champions League final. What do you think we're going to do this season?
I think we're going to win a title. I think we're going to win something this year. I don't think it's going to be the Champions League. Don't think it's going to be the league. I think it's going to be like a Carabao Cup or the FA Cup, something like that.
First silverware for Poch this season.
Yeah, he needs to get silverware.
And Josh, what about you? What do you think is going to happen this season?
I think that we're going to have a lot of assists, maybe goals from our new player. We're definitely going to get into the Champions League somewhere. Maybe win a bit of silverware. Don't know. I'm hoping for the best.
Absolutely, as Spurs fans always do. And Ben, who's your favourite Spurs player?
Heung-min Son, the South Korean winger. He's my favourite player. It used to be like Dele or Kane or Hugo, those three. And then Eriksen is yours, obviously. And then I saw Son, because he's from a different country, but he's probably the best player from that country ever. He was in, I think, 2018... promoted to the best player in Asia as well, and he's just my favourite player because he's got so much speed and creativity and he's always wearing a smile on his face.
Excellent. And Josh, who's your favourite player?
Not really 100% sure. I might as well go for Hugo because I just quite into goalkeepers and he's very good.
Excellent. And we've just seen the new kits as well. What do you make of the new kits for next season?
Well, home kit, there's no blue on the shirt and there's just full blue on the shorts. It's like white and blue. I'd say the home kit, maybe it needs a bit of blue. Shorts needs a bit, yeah. And then they're not very creative this time. Like, Nike went all out with our third kit last season, but now it's like... they're not being it anymore because their tactic is normally putting just like blue stripes or whatever down the shoulders, but they haven't done this time. They've just done like white and blue and then different shades of, because on our away kit there is like it's blue. It's just blue with light checkered bits at the top and then it's dark blue. It's not that creative, but I do like them. But we haven't seen the third kit yet because it hasn't came out. And then the goalkeeper kick up layer, yes, it came back to life. That's when I realised, because it came back to life and it's more creative and it's like no one's seen a goalkeeper kit like that. It's nice.
Josh, what do you make of the kits?
You could say like we're going back to when we didn't know how to make kits. But I mean, it isn't really the kit that matters.
But you did quite like the goalkeeper kit too, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely.
What would you like to say to everybody who's listening?
Subscribe to Hoods for Heroes, subscribe to Rookie Adventure. Come on, you Spurs!
So, as you can tell, two very enthusiastic Spurs fans there. If nothing else, I'm bringing them up right in that regard. Their grandpa on their father's side is a Gooner, so I got in early and I've saved them. And in fact, Ben did say to me at one point, thank you for making me a Spurs fan, because otherwise I would have supported the worst team in the world. So that's great stuff. But looking back a little bit more now to Spurs and the glory days gone by, Lee, you spoke to your Nana.
So I'm here with my Nana. So if you want to introduce yourself.
Hello, this is Brenda, Lee's Nan. I'm 82 years old and getting on for nearly 83 in November.
And what football team do you support and why?
Spurs.
And why do you support them?
Because I used to go and watch them with my dad when I was about 14, and my brother.
So what were your memories like going down to watch Spurs?
Very good. We used to go down there on a bus along the High Road to Tottenham from Ponders End. And we always used to go in, where would it be, the bit that, I think it was the dearest bit, near the tunnel, so we could watch them coming through the tunnel, coming out. And... we used to love the matches, it was really good. I only went to one away match and that was Arsenal and it was horrible. I got crushed in the crowd, it was awful. That was the Arsenal one, at Arsenal, I went to Arsenal.
At Highbury.
Spurs and Arsenal played at Highbury, yeah. I had my photo taken with my friend because we put all our names of the players on our scarves, and they put it in, I think it was the Evening Standard, I'm not sure.
And what sort of players did you used to watch?
Oh, well, I can remember a few of the team, but not many. Ted Ditchburn was the goalie. And then there was Lynn Dukeman, I think he was centre-forward. There was Eddie Bailey was a back, and Alf Ramsey was a back. Bill Nicholson was a midfielder, I think. Did I say Liz Medley? I think that's all I can remember.
So obviously you used to go to the old White Hart Lane. What do you think of the new stadium? Have you seen pictures of it?
It looks very nice, yes, lovely. Very nice.
And do you want to go down and see it at
some
point?
I wouldn't mind, yeah. If I could get there, yes, I wouldn't mind going to see it. Oh, we just used to go mad every week, and I did go on the pitch once when I think they either won the cup or the league. I'm not quite sure now, I can't remember at this stage. But which wasn't very nice of me, but loads of us went on there. So I used to go and watch them, the players, when they was training. And I think it was Chesnut, I'm not sure, but we used to pop up there sometimes and see them on a Sunday morning. Then after I went with my dad and my brother, when I got to about 15, I started going with my mate all the time.
And how successful were the team at the time?
Very successful. More successful than they are now, sorry. But they were. I don't really know the team now because I don't really watch football that much now. But I did used to enjoy it when I was young. It was lovely.
So did you see Spurs got to the Champions League final last season?
Yes.
And what do you think of that?
I thought it was good. Yeah, shame they didn't win it though.
So what about this season? Do you think with the new stadium and everything the way it is, do you think we've got a good chance of either winning the league or coming right near the top, challenging for it?
I hope so, yeah. They may be challenging for it. I hope so anyway. They've got some good players now, haven't they? Oh, they're nearly all foreign though, aren't they?
There are some young homegrown talents like Harry Kane in there as well.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he? But I do think they get too much money for what they do.
Yeah, the transfers are quite high, aren't they?
Yes, they're very high, aren't they? I don't know how much it costs now to get into the Spurs, but it didn't cost us hardly anything, but it must cost a fortune now.
How much did you use to pay for your tickets?
I can't remember, but it wasn't very much, Lee. We didn't have much money, so it couldn't have been very much.
Yeah, at the moment, for instance, my season ticket, that ticket's worth about £42 a match.
See, we wouldn't have been able to afford that. Ours was only £2 or £3, I think. About £5 at the most, I should think. Because we didn't earn much money then in them days, did we?
So have you got a favourite player in the current team?
Yeah, that one you just said.
Harry Kane.
Yeah, Harry Kane. I like Harry Kane, yeah. He's good. Tell him if I had my photo, I'd show you it, but I can't because my eldest grandson had it and he don't know what he's done with it, so...
Is that the photo of you of all the players when you did the scarf?
No, there was just me and my friend. There's the Evening Standard just took a photo of me and my friend and it was in the paper. I think it was the Evening Standard. I'm not sure. It was an evening paper, I know, but I'm not sure which one. Oh, and I did get, sorry, I forgot, one match I did get all the, well, I call them the Dortmund Brazil, but apparently they're Brazil Dortmund, aren't they? We did get all their autographs once when we waited outside for them. That was nice.
Was that when we played them in
Europe? Yeah, they
played
them, yeah. And they were very nice, that team. They didn't mind giving you the autographs at all.
Perfect. Well, thanks for joining us. Have you got anything to say to everyone before you go?
Just support the Spurs, because they're the best.
So that's another generation of Spurs fans. So you've heard it from the young, from the, well, I wouldn't quite call us middle-aged yet, but the young, the current, mid, and the maybe older. I'm sure she won't take offence to that.
Very different age groups anyway, and different experiences of being Spurs fans, which is really interesting. The glory days that your Nana experienced, through some of the more bleak years that we may have experienced into now, and Spurs fans who have never known anything other than top four finishes, which is fantastic.
Yeah, the positivity and the energy from them was just amazing. So if that's what future Spurs fans are looking like, then glad to see it.
And well, I guess that's a good time to start talking about pre-season. And we've been, I mean, Poch hasn't been terribly happy in terms of lots of pre-season tours. He doesn't like those, but we've done pretty well in them, I think, and a great result against Juventus to start us off.
Yeah, the men's team have really been chop and changed, considering there hasn't been that much in the transfer market coming in necessarily, but we've had a few outgoings. But the team across the board, obviously, you know, in the pre-season friendlies, there's going to be youth team in there playing, maybe fighting for positions and things like that. And I think across the whole of the pre-season tournaments, you've seen lots of the team step up, much more positive performances than negatives. Watching the teams, sometimes you wouldn't even realise that it were youth players that were playing. They could easily fit into the starting 11, which is, as a fan, it gets me really excited, because if we've got that in our rotational squad, we're definitely going to be pushing, hopefully, for trophies in the coming season.
Well, and looking at that, standing there waiting for the penalties in the Allianz Arena there, you've got that picture that Spurs published of Harry Kane and all the youth players, you know, the guys who've come through from Tottenham, local boys, now playing for their club. And, you know, some fantastic performances, in particular, obviously, Troy Parrott, everybody's been talking about him. Can he be the second choice striker? But several other players as well coming through and really pushing for a chance in the first team next season, I think, which is fantastic. And Harry Kane, I think we have to mention him as well, really looking on form for the first time in a pre-season in a couple of years. And the goal against Juventus, well, pretty incredible.
I mean, the whole team are looking fresh, which is really good to see given the last few years. And there are definitely some rising stars in amongst those youth squads who are going to break into the first squad this season, which we all love to see. It's part of the philosophy of what we do at Spurs. And yes, we've had a big transfer signing, which obviously a lot of people are happy about, would like to see some more. But the youth that are coming through are very, very talented, and we definitely need to give them the opportunity that they're having to play in the Audi Cup final and to hold your nerve in a penalty shootout. Like, we got through the strikers. They had to put their hands up. Who wanted that? And they did. No one really shied away from it. They went for it, and they got the result.
Well, and been obviously information been released recently that we're second only to Manchester United in terms of our academy players getting Premiership football. So we're doing really well, I think, in that regard, and long may it continue. You know, those players coming through, it's really important that we keep them coming through, that we keep giving them the opportunities. And, you know, there's so much passion when you're playing for the club that you supported as a kid, that you've come through the ranks, that we see it with Harry Kane and Harry Winks on a regular basis. And it just gives you that extra joy as a fan to watch those players and see that it means as much to them as it would to you in that situation. So yeah, really brilliant and really great stuff, and a trophy in the cabinet already.
Yeah, we've blown the dust off.
Well, we're good at pre-season trophies. We won one last year as well.
Yeah, this is true. It's nice to have won it in Bayern's ground as well.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it was a great experience, I think, for all the players, and I'm sure they'll all agree. But, you know, we got one more friendly this weekend against Inter, of course, at the stadium, and which is going to be great for a lot of people who might not have got to the stadium yet. And then we, obviously, the following weekend, well, we kick off against Villa.
Yeah, the season has come round really quick, really quick.
Well, I mean, it's great stuff, because, you know, you have that period of waiting, and it's back again. One more weekend without, I mean, I've already been down to one of my local teams to watch a pre-season friendly there. So my football season has started, but it will start properly on the 10th of August. I'm not going to be at the Inter friendly, but yeah, looking forward to going home again and seeing what Villa can offer. I mean, obviously, they've bought lots of players this summer. Made a big investment. It'd be interesting to see how they shape up.
Yeah, they've got I think it's, what was it, 10 signings that I think I heard?
Something close to that, certainly. And lots of money, over 100 million I think they've spent on players just in the close season. So yeah, really setting out their intent for the season. And obviously we know sometimes buying lots of players doesn't always work, but hopefully I mean, a club the size of Villa, you know, they belong in the Premier League, really, don't they? So it was great to see them back again. But let's hope we can spoil the party for them on the first day of the season.
Yeah, we'll welcome them nicely, but remind them that this is the Premier League.
Yes, absolutely.
And as for the women's team, who are now joining the Super League for the first time, yes. We've finally got the final few confirmation team members there.
We have, yes. So we brought in a new centre-back, Hannah Godfrey, who is English but has been playing out in America, university soccer, for the last couple of years, and highly rated over there, not a professional over there. So this is her first professional contract, but we needed a centre-back, so that's good. And we've also retained the services of Welsh wing-back Megan Wynn, who is, I'm pleased to see her.
Yeah, definitely great to have her back.
She's a Spurs fan. Since she was a kid, her dad's a big Spurs fan, and so you know you see the passion playing for Spurs every time she's playing 100%, even when she's not playing, you see her on the sidelines watching the game intently, and I think it's fantastic to see her being given the chance to test herself at the highest level. So that is our 20 woman squad, and that it looks like the team that we're going to go forward with. Of course, a lot of players that we've had to say goodbye to. Some that some people are surprised about, but hopefully they'll find new homes and do great things there. But we had our first pre-season friendly against Southampton, who are two leagues below us now. We did win it 7-0, so that was a pretty impressive result. And we've got a few more friendlies coming up. We're going to face Palace this weekend, and then we're away at the Bees, but
that will soon be home.
There'll be a bit sort of a cross between away and home against the Bees on the 11th. Tickets for that are available through the Bees website. And then we're playing Arsenal, which is a bit disappointing because it's on the same day as the Newcastle home game in the Premier League. So might affect how many people get down to watch that one. I'm sure it will affect, in fact. But then on the 1st of September, our final pre-season friendly is away at West Ham. And they will be a team we're facing in the Super League. In fact, we'll be facing them on the 29th of September in the league as well. So that's going to be a huge game. West Ham, of course, making some big name signings over the summer as well. So, of course, you know, the old rivalry, whether it's the men's or the women's team, will always be there. So really interesting pre-season. And then we kick off at Stamford Bridge on the 8th of September and, against Chelsea. And that looks like it's going to be a sellout at Stamford Bridge.
Pretty much on its way to being a sellout now. Fantastic for the women's game as well to see them selling out stadiums. Obviously, we've got the ladies playing at the new stadium as well. So that's going to be cracking.
Well, they'll be playing there against Arsenal. We know that. There may be some others if it works with the scheduling. But, of course, we have to keep an eye on the games that move for Sky from the men's perspective. But at the moment, yeah, we're certainly playing the Arsenal game in November at the new stadium. So that'd be fantastic. I'm just really looking forward to going and seeing the women's team and seeing these new players, seeing how they're fitting in with our existing players, and finding out what the starting 11 is going to look like. Very different from the men's team once again. I mean, last summer, again, the women's team brought in quite a lot of new players, so it's kind of how it's going. But with the big step up in level, playing against the likes of Chelsea and Arsenal, who have been playing at this level for many years and had, you know, professional players for a few more years than us, it's a big change. So fingers crossed, very much looking forward to it, and getting back down there and supporting the women, and hopefully seeing lots more Spurs fans down there this season.
That's the plan, get as many of our fans down to come and watch as well. We've got quite a few of our Proudly White members will be down at both the pre-season friendlies and season ticket holders once the season starts.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic to see. The more support that we can get, the better. Just on the side of that as well, if there are any listeners who do want to come along to these matches, you can contact us through our social media sites. You can find these on both the Proud League website, or you can just search for us on the internet, and you'll be able to find all of our accounts where you can get in contact, and you can find out more about meeting up with other Proud League White members. You can find out more about getting to these matches, about all different things. I know that there's a few events that are going to be coming up over the next coming weeks and months that is going to be really interesting and real good fun, that lots of people are going to want to get involved with. So again, when we find out more about these, we definitely can let everyone know, and we can get people along, and we can have really good atmospheres at these matches.
Yeah, and you know, it's starting to get that atmosphere at the women's game, starting to get some songs going. We need some more people down to the games, and you know, it's a great, the women's game is in a sense more friendly than the men's game. It's a bit more family orientated. So, you know, if you're a bit nervous about going to a game, there's fewer people at the women's games and you can come and join us. There's three of us who are season ticket holders down there from last season and hopefully a few more this season, regularly going to games, and we're always happy to see other people. We've usually got our flag out so you can spot us wherever you are in the ground. And hopefully, yeah, come down and say hello. We'd love to meet as many of you as we can and show you what the Spurs women's team is all about.
So one other thing that has come up in the news recently is about the rule changes and changes of the law for the Premier League and leagues this season coming up. So there's quite a lot of different changes. I had a little look into what was going to be going on. Obviously, we've seen some of the rule changes implemented from the Women's World Cup and things like that.
Mm.
And it's just really interesting to see how the Premier League have looked at what's happened, both with, like, for instance, the penalties and using VAR to see whether they was on the line and things like that, and how the Premier League have come out and said that in situations like that, yes, you do need to keep one foot on the line or in line with the line. You could be jumping above it, etc., but they're not going to be using VAR to check things like that. So it's good to see that they're taking all the feedback on board, and it's not just, well, these are the interpretations of the law, that's what we're going with. They're actually seeing what fans are reacting and what people are saying, and they're taking that all into consideration. And hopefully it means that down the line, with other rules and the more of use of technology, that fans will either get consulted on it or they will take fan feedback on board, and it is a good sign.
Well, then ultimately you've got, you know, you've got your second official, you know, your the other officials there who can be watching that. They've got one job in a penalty, is to watch where the keeper is. It shouldn't be difficult, should it, to be able to watch that and to use that rather than having to, because that's the thing I think people object to with VAR is the number of times you're sat there going, oh, it's a goal, no it's not, or is it a goal? I don't know. What's going on? And all that kind of uncertainty that surrounds VAR. So I think the fewer decisions that it's responsible for, the better. But yeah, when they're key decisions, then obviously it's going
to
help.
Another couple of rule changes as well, to do with the wall. When a defending team are defending against a free kick, obviously a new rule that's coming in is if there's a defensive wall of three or more players, the attacking team can't be within, I think it's 1 metre, yeah, of that wall. So obviously we did see at the Women's World Cup where they found ways around, I think it was it Spain, who they created like their own wall in front of the defensive wall so that they could get around it and they could still try and interfere. But I think I've seen it a lot in the Premier League over the last few seasons, and I've seen it from Spurs as well, where getting in amongst the defensive wall to disrupt it and Eriksen curling one in the top corner as a result. So hopefully the team have been looking at that and reacting to that, which I'm sure they will have. But again, it's just something to keep an eye out for when we do see the new season start.
Yes, and an interesting one actually that's come in that was in place for the Women's World Cup, but we didn't actually see being used, was that substitutes are now going to be required to leave the pitch at their nearest point of exit. So as if they'd been injured, for example, rather than being expected to walk to the halfway line. Now, obviously, in the Women's World Cup, everybody's walking to the halfway line, but it's designed to stop those players that like to trundle across very, very slowly and waste a bit of time in getting off. So now the ref can expect them to go off at the nearest point or to be much faster if they're going off at halfway line.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they also introduced the law that if a player purposefully doesn't do it to waste time, that obviously it is it goes against the spirit of the game, so therefore it will be a bookable offence. Now obviously we don't want to see it, but it's good that the referees have the backing to enforce it as well.
Yeah,
because again, with these changes in the law, it's do the referees implement them, do they have the backing? So hopefully the fact they've been given the backing for that, they might hopefully be able to enforce it more.
Hopefully so.
There was one other rule change that really caught my eye as well, and it was I've seen it a lot, especially from World Cup and things like that. When VAR's used, if a player is on the attack, and how annoying was it when the linesman didn't wait for offside and then the play carries on and then offside flag goes up a few minutes later. Now the linesman will flag straight away, but the ref will stop the match at the end of the phase of play. So for instance, they have to play to the whistle. So you can see the linesman wave his flag, but the ref will carry on with the match and then we'll go back with VAR to check their decision afterwards. And I think that might catch a couple of players out. Mm. So you might see defensive lines just stop because they've seen the flag go, but it is played to the whistle.
That's going to be a big one to get used to, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's good that we'll be able to see straight away that the linesman has flagged for it.
Mm.
But are they going to be able to keep up with play, and are teams going to stop because of it and things like that? And again, they've just got to play to the whistle.
Well, hopefully it will encourage players to do exactly that and play to the whistle rather than what we, you know, we see a little bit of these days, which is kind of protesting to the officials even whilst play is ongoing. You know, you've got to keep playing until you're told otherwise. But yeah, it'd be interesting. There's also some rule changes, I think, around the drop ball situation, so check those out if you can understand them. Basically they're going to become so that the opposing players aren't allowed within a meter of the drop ball, I think, so there's no just kind of whacking it back up the pitch. It means that if you're in an attacking position, you can continue with the attack, unless it's in the penalty area, in which case it always goes back to the defending team.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right. And I think they've changed it as well, so that if it hits the referee and that interferes with play or changes the possession, then that is classed as drop ball.
Yes, yeah.
If the ref scores, inadvertently, things like that as well.
And we laugh at that, but apparently it did happen in, I think, Tier 4 in the Netherlands, just before the rules were changed.
Yeah, it was a week before the rule change came in effect.
So it does happen, apparently. So yeah, lots of changes, and some of them will just have to kind of, well, and most of them, I guess, will have to wait and see how they play out, because it's quite difficult a lot of the time to work out exactly what that change is just by reading the rules, because it's a physical game.
Yeah, and it all comes down to interpretation as well, especially with the handball situations, like, is it a handball, is it not? For instance, scoring goals with handball, that rule's changed as well. And again, I think as we see the season go on, we'll see what the referees' interpretations of it are and where the Premier League are coming from with the rule changes.
Well, and I think we're going to see a few more of those dubious decisions about what is making your body unnaturally larger and those sort of things.
Yeah, and I've got a feeling that VAR's going to be a big talking point of the season as well.
Yeah. Well, inevitably, you know, when these big changes come in, it's going to be the case. But hopefully it won't be the case that it makes too many decisions or mistakes that really have an effect on one particular team or the position, because, you know, you don't want to see that kind of issue. You want to be able to get on with the game and enjoy it and see these things as improving the game.
And as long as there's the visibility in the stadium and the fans understand what's happening, you're not going to affect the matchday experience too much. I mean, you do get fans who say that having VAR and having to wait, it slows down the match. It's like, do you really want to celebrate if it might not be given and things like that? But I think it just adds another layer of intensity and drama. Like, okay, we've scored, pretty sure it was onside, let's wait, check. Okay, yeah, it is. And I think it keeps everyone on their toes a little bit more.
Yeah,
nothing's taken for granted.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan in that scenario, really, because you celebrate and then you go, oh, okay. It is a weird thing, and we're going to have to get used to it, I think, as fans who are used to, fans who go to the games and are used to that big celebration. It's going to be weird, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out in the stands and how we all respond to it. But I'm sure it will find a spot, and that's where we'll all come to a comfort point with it, even if it's not the same as it was.
Well, thanks for listening again, everyone. Don't forget to keep in touch with us on our social medias. And if you've got any questions that you want to put to us for our next pod, which is going to be coming out later in August, once the season's up and running again, feel free to get in contact us and let us know. And we'll hopefully be able to talk about some of those questions you've got.
And if you're around at any of the games, don't forget to come and say hello to the Proud Lily Whites. We'll be about at the men's and the women's games. Hopefully the flag will be up at the new stadium and at the Hive for the women's games. So come and say hello and make yourself known. We're always excited to meet new people and to meet new Spurs fans.
And keep your eyes on the website, proudlilywhites.uk, where you can find out all the new things we've got coming out, like, for instance, what we had at Pride with Beavertown Brewery and things like that. So any new things that the Proud Lily Whites will be doing will all be on there, so you can check it out on there too.
Brilliant. Well, I think we should let everybody get back to their day. But thanks for joining us once again, and we hope you'll join us again next time.
Come on, you Spurs!